I grew up believing I was born gay. I'd only ever been erotically attracted towards men. And as a teen, I'd often thought of suicide. I self-harmed and I had a problem with alcohol and I was addicted to hardcore pornography. Coming from a rural community, I never believed I'd be accepted as a gay man, especially as I watched a male cousin who was 10 years my senior struggle to find his place as a gay man in the same locality. And he actually died from a drug overdose in his 40s. I came out at 17. And my parents said that they'd known I was gay. And also my mates at school affirmed me as gay as well. My fears of rejection actually subsided. And I'll be honest, I felt free like never before. At the age of 18, I moved to my capital city. I fully embraced my gay identity and I served the gay community on the front lines, actively preaching diversity and inclusion, which was the mantra that I'd been so quick to learn. I challenged everyone that might suggest that being gay was somehow a choice or it was wrong or changeable. I mean, duh. I never felt the need to change or to even try to. I mean, why should I? I was born gay and that was that. I led a very promiscuous life, having hundreds of sexual partners, especially while attending the lesbian and gay Christian movement. I then settled down with a long-term boyfriend and we went to church together and we soon became the model Christian gay couple. But some months later, I sensed some issues affecting my relationships in general, and I'd not noticed them before. In brief, I actually ended my perfect relationship, and I chose of my own volition to enter therapy. There in therapy, it revealed that I had a deep-rooted fear of rejection, that I had commitment issues, and I could easily be riddled with anxiety, that I'd used others for pleasure, and I'd let them use me. Now, although I yearned for men, I saw that I also had an innate fear of them. Now, this is the real homophobia, that intrinsic fear of the average guy. There was nothing brutal or harrowing about the help I received. So the horror stories that are portrayed in these gay straight conversion documentaries certainly don't apply here. I underwent cognitive therapy to challenge my core beliefs and root out one-sided thinking. Behavioral therapy to change problematic actions trained through years of reinforcement. And some EMDR, which uses rhythmic eye movements to dampen the power of traumatic memories. Therapists never focus solely on my being sexually attracted to men, but my being gay had to be a part of the dialogues. Otherwise, I'd have been leaving a part of my life at the therapist's door. I came to recognize where I built numerous walls around my heart towards significant others in my life. So, for example, as a boy, I'd failed to interact with other males on any significant level, as I'd been fostered, orphaned and adopted, and I saw myself as rejected by men, even as a small boy, and I made an inner vow never to deeply trust them. Now, males had reached out to me, but I'd spurned them, including my adoptive dad and older brothers. So men then became a mystery to me, even an obsession by the time I reached my teens, and I began erotically craving men and feeding this through endless porn. So being disconnected from men, I got stuck in a world of the feminine with no masculine counterbalance. I believed myself to be a woman trapped in a man's body, and I'd considered hormones and mutilating surgery. Yet at my core, I actually despised women, so I came to believe, because they were able to woo heterosexual men, which I couldn't do. So clearly my natural place wasn't among women. But through therapy and prayer support, my core behaviours and impressions were challenged. My looks, my body, my walk, my perceptions. Therapists challenged me to look at where I wasn't like other men and where I was. And we worked together on things like my voice and the effeminate way I walked. They gave me permission to think in a different way and to do things differently. Gradually, my fears and anxieties subsided and I began to feel more accepted around both men and then women. And I moved from a deep underlying unease with masculine identity to embracing it. My posture changed. I began to walk taller and I lost my mincing walk. My voice became lower and people would regularly comment on it. I started seeing that maybe, just maybe, I was never truly gay and that the true man I'd worshipped and longed after in other guys was hidden deep within me, waiting to be freed and released. Now, no one was more shocked and excited by this than me. I also learned through prayer what it was to forgive. And I had many people from the past, especially men, that I needed to forgive. Prayer never focused solely on my sexual attraction to men, but gave me courage to look everything in the eye. This included facing the painful, wholly repressed memories of my having been consistently sexually abused as a child for years by a number of men, and raped whilst a teenager several years before I'd even reached the age of consent on three occasions by three older gay men. A few years later in my late 20s, now facing the hidden trauma of excessive child sexual abuse, having been fed gay pornography and raped as a teen by three gay men, the crippling, insatiable eroticization and romanticization of men within me began to diminish. The more inclusive my friendships became with other chaste men, the more I desired an exclusive connection that contained mystery. Now, men had been mystery to me, but now I unexpectedly began to see woman as I'd never seen her before, noticing her curves and her scent. I saw her as wholly different, as mysterious, and yet complementary to me. So there I was in my late 20s, experiencing what most males go through in their teens. I then dated women, and eventually I married. Today I'm a dad, something I was told I would never and could never be. And I thought I'd spend my entire life preaching that people are born gay, but the opposite has become true. I'm so grateful to the courageous men and women who had a vision for my life way above and beyond the mantras and lies of my fellow LGBTQ activists. Because without them, I'd never have uncovered my childhood sexual abuse, which later led me to be the key witness in a court case that saw a prolific paedophile convicted of his crimes. Banning therapy will mean more child sexual abuse going unreported, which is a most perverted and evil outcome. If I'd been prevented from starting my own recovery journey, which politicians are now trying to vitriolically ban, I'd never have been able to support literally hundreds of men and women with unwanted same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria, most of whom were gravely sexually abused as minors. We're being told by gender-confused ideologues, by ill-informed educators, medics and politicians, to see our identity according to sexual attraction. Now, this is a lie from the pit of hell, and I know this because I've lived and preached it myself. I was unknowingly given a key to freedom, and I took it and opened the door which let me scratch deep below the surface of mainstream society's toxic, deathly beliefs about sexual attraction. And today I'm galaxies away from where I expected to be half a lifetime ago. So what actually changed for me? Well, my sexual compulsivity reduced, which means no more 3-monthly visits to sexual health clinics to see what sexually transmitted infections I've caught. My paralyzing anxiety decreased. My multiplying addictions, my self-harm, my subliminal fears of men and women, my inability to commit, my oscillating hatred of self and blame of others, my antidepressant intake to counteract tension and burnout, and my same-sex attraction itself, all of these either decreased or disappeared. Now, you'd think this would make a health minister happy rather than contemptuous and condemnatory. So like hundreds and thousands of others, I wasn't born gay after all. Today I'm surrounded by amazing relationships, and yet the peers I knew in my 20s who stayed gay now often struggle with profound loneliness, disorders and dependencies, and a higher than average percentage have died early from sickness or suicide. Now to me, that's unjust. So today our so-called health ministers knowingly lie to young people who are still figuring out who they are. They say to them, there's nothing wrong with you, or you can't be fixed because you're not broken, and anyone who tells you otherwise is wrong. Well, what bulldust? Their words steal life. They destroy and they will kill. Ministers who say this are wolves in sheep's clothing, enemies parading as allies of the people they're elected and paid to serve. They fail to consult widely and to become fully informed about therapy and prayer around human sexuality, and they leave thousands of young and old alike trapped, as I was, in the traumatic aftermath of child sexual abuse, rape, and exposure to destructive pornography. So when a health minister tells those who've been sexually abused, raped, or emotionally neglected that there's nothing wrong with you, you can't be fixed because you're not broken, then you have to start asking yourself, who really is sick? And who is spreading sick lies? And why?